So did you start sailing the Blanchard first or the Oakley dinghies? And so I want to know about that. And I want to know about when you switched to sailing up at Corinthian and, you know, to Seattle and all that.
When I was 16, or just turning 16, the year I turned 16, I left Seattle and went to live in New Orleans. And first thing I did in New Orleans was take the streetcar out to the yacht club. And I was walking the docks and looking at the boats, and there was a group of three girls that were getting a Lightning ready to go for a sail. And I started chatting with them, and they invited me along. And so within the first two or three days in New Orleans, I was happily sailing again. And for some reason or other, I never made any further connections with the sailing there, except the girls gave me a lot of helpful information on how to have a good time and survive in New Orleans. And the thing that they said that I should not do under any circumstances is go to a public school. So they had me fixed up with a private military academy. And I never really got a chance to do any sailing again until 1953. In 1953, the VA had written me a letter and said if I didn't get my butt in school, I was going to lose a GI Bill. So I decided that of all the places that I'd seen, University of Washington looked like it had a neat campus. So I entered the University of Washington, and step number one was to wander around all the boatyards until I discovered Corinthian Yacht Club. It just so turned out that there was a fellow named Ralph Falk that I ran into at Corinthian, and he was one of the three guys that owned small boats at the Tacoma Yacht Club, and we'd sailed together a lot. So he sort of introduced me to some of the other Blanchard members. And Ed Carhart was always looking for a crew, so Ed asked me to come along on the next race. Ed and I got along really good, and so I got into the Blanchard sailing it right from the get-go. And eventually I was able to, through the generosity of my new wife, eventually I was able to afford to buy a Blanchard, and I bought B-30 and campaigned it for quite a while.
So about how many other Blanchards were there in that area?
We had the largest fleet racing, and it was not uncommon to have as many as 30 boats out on the starting line. We could easily count on 20 boats.
Right, and this is all Leschi, right?
And this is all sailing at Leschi. We would, however, go to all of the PIYA events go up to Port Townsend or Vancouver or wherever the PIYA regattas were held. The Blanchard fleet would always show up in an abundant number. But it was an excellent fleet to start out in because it was extremely competitive, and you had to have a combination of good gear and a lot of practice in order to keep up with the likes of Rattray and some of the legends.
So how long did it take you to get competitive in that fleet?
We did pretty good right from the get-go. The things that I learned from Teets when I was a kid stuck with me. And there was a book, I'm going to slow down here a little bit because it'll take me a while to think of it. Okay, I can't remember the name of the book but it was the Aerodynamics of Yacht Racing. It was written by a German, and this guy was an aerodynamicist that detailed all of the physics involved in used in sails, and by following his book to the letter, I was able to make the boat go pretty fast right from the get-go. So over time we picked up a little speed, but I'd say we were semi-competitive pretty much from the start.
And this was all starting off the tower, right?
Yeah.
Leschi with the fixed bar buoys that they used to have.
Right.
Yeah, they had those. Those stick around for a long time. They had those up into my time.
Yeah.